Do we have any questions? Oh, we do. One here and one here.
Да, можно вопрос насчет России? Я так и не понял. Причем, если это касается восточного партнерства, то это понятно. Если этот фонд, он вообще занимается всемирными проблемами, то тоже тогда было бы понятно. Ну, просто вопрос в чем? Я один раз присутствовал, однажды я присутствовал на конференции, большой конференции, которую проводили либералы европейские, там тоже был поднят так вопрос, что, может быть, стоит как-то ввести вот в эту систему, в этих 6 стран, еще добавить и Россию. Все эти участники были против этого, потому что они сказали, что тут это не касается России, это наши отношения с Европой. Я не понял, столько раз говорили об России, что это как-то связано с какими-то политическими решениями, или это просто фонд такой, который занимается всеми вопросами не только Восточного партнерства, так и Африка, и Югом, и Севером, и всеми направлениями. Вот вопрос в этом.
Well, I mean, the simple answer is I was first inspired to set up the European Initiative for Democracy and Human Rights when I first met Yelena Bonner in her Moscow flat. I've forgotten which year it was, but her inspiration led to the foundation of that thing. And the last time I saw Yelena was at a conference organized by the Liberals in Moscow. We stand by our principles. I'm afraid to say that Russia is, as I said, a declining democracy, and I think it'd be quite extraordinary if the EED were to accept support, financial support from Russia. Russia, I was having a meeting earlier today, is active around the European continent in supporting insurgent movements and, as it were, creating difficulties for democrats. And I think the EED should stand by those who are seeking to reform their countries, move towards democracy, not away from it.
I think I may have misled you. What I meant was whether EED would fund projects in Russia.
Ah, I'm so
Sorry, I'm
sorry. Oh,
sorry.
God, yes.
So I created
Absolutely.
confusion.
You know, one of the failures of the Commission in administering the European Initiative for Democracy and Human Rights, which it took over in 1999, was that it closed down the offices we had in Moscow and in Warsaw and in Prague, which were there to help activists formulate projects and to monitor those projects. And that sort of outreach is something I hope the EED will be able to do, especially in the neighborhood, which is its primary focus.
Chris, you had a
I just wanted to ask what the feeling in the Parliament is about the EED. I mean, does the Parliament love the EED?
I think it's it was a difficult passage to get it through, and I deliberately stayed away from all discussions about it because I'm a well-known partisan of an independent entity acting at arm's length from the EU institutions. Most parliamentarians, I have to say, are very wedded to the idea that the centrality of the Commission and Parliament and now the EAS in policy making and decision making, and in fact in the implementation of policy, is absolutely not to be questioned. I don't necessarily agree with that, and so that's why I've always lobbied for to have a separate arm's length entity. I'm not alone. There are a number of parliamentarians who, in recent years, especially those who've exposed themselves—that's the wrong expression—who have been exposed to the National Endowment for Democracy. Have taken a different view. And among them is Alexander Lambsdorff, so I'm pleased he's closely involved, Ana Gomes, Véronique de Keyser, Annemie Naetz, and others who have pushed this through the Foreign Affairs Committee. But it hasn't always been easy. As I say, there's always been this sense that somehow the German Stiftungen are still reticent, and I won't say opposed, but they're reticent about this. And one of the factors that it seemed to me necessary was that this should be an initiative which came from the East, addressed to the old Europe, which is what we are, because they are the new Europeans, and all power to their initiative.
We've also been talking about election monitoring today, and one of the problems with election monitoring in the Eastern Partnership countries is parliamentarians from the member states, whether it's the European Parliament or the OSCE Parliamentary Assembly or the Council of Europe Assembly, who are, sometimes they are partisan in the way they look at elections, sometimes they are downright corrupt. Mm. And they look at it through the, so, and they try and turn the results. Now, we will want to try and do something about this. Is there anything you can advise?
Well, I'm afraid it's a fact of life. The transition from dictatorship in 1989 to what is still a transitional democracy in member states of the European Union means that there will be some members of the European Parliament who have a particular history, and it has caused problems, they're ones we recognize, and I hope that observers like yourself will be mature enough to see where there are problems. I think the Parliament tries to adjust itself not to have Romanians monitoring Moldova and so on. That this does cause problems, we recognize that, but sometimes it's impossible to avoid it. And you have to take parliamentarians for their face value, which is tricky, not just in the European Parliament, but in a national context too.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. We had a Stephanie there, yeah.
Yeah, hello, my name is Stephanie Schiffer, so I'm late from European Exchange, and obviously I'm the only German participant, if I'm not mistaken. I briefly want to comment the question about Germany. For us, for sure, as civil society activists, it's more than a shame that Germany has not committed itself to support the European Endowment for Democracy. It's really a shame. One point is the role of a German political foundations, which are afraid of having a sort of competition, which is illusionary, because only one of all these German political foundations in fact works with civil society. This is the Heinrich Böll Foundation. All the other political foundations in fact do not work with civil society, or only to a very small extent. So this is a real challenge for us as civil society organizations to bring our government to a commitment in this concern. Yesterday we had a meeting in the German Bundestag with Lilia Shibanova. We discussed the situation in with civil society in Russia, and we came to the conclusion we should challenge our German parliament to make a serious step forward to commit itself to the endowment. It's absolutely necessary. And I think it's the only question of time, because the ratio is against this position. So, second point is the inclusion of Russia. Also the same. It's not reasonable not to include Russia in this European Endowment for Democracy. Russia is Europe, and we have these huge problems now in Russia with democracy. So, also this is a point we should really work on. And we cannot exclude Russia from this work, from the European Endowment. We see that the law which was taken in Belarus, forced registration of grants in the early 2000s, was then adopted in Russia in 2006 or 2007. And now it is it's just copied, translated and copied in Azerbaijan. So we see it's just a circle of Mr. Member of Parliament mentioned. Russia is influencing the other countries, and we are influencing against also us. So this is the second point of high concern. So my two points to the discussion. Germany absolutely should support the European Endowment for Democracy, one. And second, Russia should also be a member and a partner of this endowment. Thank you.
Okay, I think we can, unless there's any final questions. Yes, oh, we do have a couple. Oh, okay. People are not as tired as I thought. Okay.
Well, it's just a small comment. I'm Leila Aliyeva from Azerbaijan, and I want to say that it's indeed a very outstanding event, whatever we are now observing, the birth of the European Endowment for Democracy. I think it also symbolizes or indicates the alternative emergence of the alternative approach of multilateral institutions, alternative to good governance approach towards greater support for the society versus state or to the grassroots. In fact, the society is a true partner of European Union or European member states. It's not so much the post-Soviet elites which monopolized power and they don't allow the potential of people to reform to realize. And I would say that I hope it will work. And because in many cases, even the support for grassroots initiatives or campaigns, and you correctly noticed, with the invitation of Russian actors, have a tremendous influence in Russia itself, even in such small countries like ours in the South Caucasus. So that was my small comment. Thank you.
One final question at the back there. If you could come forward to a microphone.
Okay, by chance, I am from the Heinrich Böll Foundation, a German political foundation, and I feel a bit obliged to speak now because I have a bit of feeling that there's a kind of German political foundation bashing done at the moment against the EED, which I say it's not completely correct because the German political foundations, there were, yes, at the beginning critical against the establishment of the European Endowment for Democracy, but critical to the extent that we really wanted to ensure that there's an added value of the instrument and coherent with the European Instrument for Democracy and Human Rights. And this is why we observed the whole process and we also did give our input to it, but it's not that we are against anymore, against the European Endowment for Democracy. We are still maybe a bit critical, but not opposing it completely. I think this is maybe somehow taking in a wrong way, but we do support it. We also organized already an exchange meeting with members of the Board of Governors and also with Mr. Jerzy Pomianowski in order to give our input and give our expertise into the process. And the only thing we really want to ensure is that the endowment is flexible and that it is not a second European instrument for democracy and human rights. And I think as soon as this is really guaranteed, we do can support it. But please don't be like really against the German political foundations as such, because I think this position is not right.
No, nobody's against the German political foundations. They are against the attitude of the German political foundations that persisted for a long time. And may I just say, the fact that the German political foundations are in support of the EED is why it exists, because if they were opposed, it would not. They're as strong as that in Brussels, and I recognize it. And that's why I kept out of the way during the development of the EED, because I'm known to be someone who was very critical of the attitude of the Stiftungen in the early 2000s, when I was lobbying very hard for an EED then. They were lobbying equally hard in the other direction, and they won, because it didn't happen then. But it was, as I say, the introduction of the Polish element coming from the East, and at the same time as the Arab Spring. And I think the Stiftungen now fully accept and have supported the development of the EED, and that's very much to be welcomed. I know that Washington welcomes it too. So thank you for your contribution. And, you know, you've made it very clear. Now there are two Germans in the room. You've made your position clear.
Well, with that positive note, I mean, I think there is a lot of optimism, but of course criticism is going to be needed, and we're going to need to monitor this. And I hope that Vera and others on the steering committees can also take a lead and ensure that there is an institutional almost relationship here between the forum.